going to be a doozy this week as we talk about the first presidential debate, Trump's taxes, and all the latest going on in the slow motion implosion of a once ritzy casino, its best days behind it, that is America right now. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Stay in the know right up until November. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Maybe drop us a review if you're feeling generous. And check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Before we get into Trump's taxes, or lack thereof, the first presidential debate, Ed, my own view is that...
Debate? What do you mean debate?
Look, I think Joe Biden did pretty well against low expectations. Not overly impressive, but he had a couple of prepared pieces straight down the camera that I think played quite well. Against someone who came, you know, against somebody who actually came prepared to debate, I don't think he would have done quite so well. But my goodness, Trump was absolutely all over the shop.
Manic. That's the only thing you can say. He knows he's lost the election. He's actually reading the polls. And he wants to play to his base because his next strategy is to declare the elections void. And he thinks his 40% can create such a ruckus, he can make a deal to save himself. That's what this is all about, really.
Well, he certainly created a ruckus of his own, ranting and raving, very much of it making little sense at all. One moment, though, that struck a lot of people, you know, I was watching social media after the debate, was Trump's refusal to condemn white supremacists, instead telling them to stand down and stand by. It's terrible, of course, but my feeling amongst all the outrage is it's not going to make much of a difference among voters. I mean, if you haven't figured
out... Oh, yes, it will.
Really?
Yes, it will. I think there's such a thing as going too far. And you, when you try to damage the United States, that is to disunite them as states and create a violent insurrection, the very thing Trump says he's against, then his own followers start to become very worried. They want Supreme Court judges. They want a better deal. They don't want African Americans to get ahead of them. But they're not ready to fight for and destroy the nation to get it. So already in the polls and on social media, his supporters are drawing back. As a matter of fact, those that haven't voted, and you can see it in the polls that were taken just yesterday, he's dropped a point or two in places like Florida. And that's from whites, not from Hispanics. So I think he crossed the line last night in two ways. One, his behavior was nothing like being presidential, nothing like having a care for the nation. It was all about me, me, me. The second thing is his threat to democracy. Everyone who's over 50 is really sensitive to that, because if they didn't experience a dictator directly, they know from the Russians and their holding of territory in Eastern Europe and from Hitler, this is a very dangerous place to be. It was a shameful exhibition, but more damaging is the damage it did to the United States around the world.
Well, we can't really talk about any issues coming out of the debate because there were none.
But, well, one, you mentioned it.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much the long and the short of it. I mean, you had basically Biden on one side saying vote, vote, vote. You had Trump on the other side basically calling for a voter intimidation. Biden needs to look presidential. You know, and Trump, as we say, ranted and kind of raved to the extent you really couldn't understand what he was saying. Looking at how this one turned out, is there going to be anything worth watching for in the upcoming debates, assuming they go ahead?
Well, there may be one more, but there won't be any more than that. Now, Trump might agree, or his group might agree to anything, but he's going to be Trump in the next debate. And they'll have some sanctions there. They'll turn off mics and things like this. But if it goes the same way and he's losing more, he'll be even more vicious, even more ugly, because he really doesn't want these debates except to get out his message. And so he knows there won't be another debate if there's the next one, and he could care less. He knows he's doing damage to the United States. He knows he's doing damage to the office of the president. That's what he's relishing. Think about this. He has no place to go. The Times revelations means that he has no credibility with the average American.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about next, Ed. It's the other big story of the week, and bad news for Trump. The assessment of his tax returns by the New York Times. I don't think we were terribly surprised. Trump pays as little in tax as he can get away with. His business failures have long been the stuff of legend, really, losing millions or tens of millions. But here is the proof, and I have to say with very convenient timing from the Times. What's the impact on this one?
Well, let's go back to the Times and when this was done. The Times has been after this, as we both know, for about 2 years. Revelations like this were coming out about both his federal taxes and his state taxes. And the court battles were to see his tax returns because the Times put this information out. They've had a reporter working on this for about 10 years, well before Trump becoming president. They've also had cooperation from inside the Trump organization by Trump's, what you call his number one assistant. She has put the goods on him and one of his accountants. Now, why now? The Times has moved close to Biden. They sense that there would be a surprise coming. And they didn't know what it was other than the Durham report. So the thing to do to beat a surprise is have a surprise. But your surprise has to be number one. And the Durham report or something else might come out this month. We're October 1st now here in Australia. So what the Times did with this reporting that they've been doing for 10 years, they had someone inside the IRS who gave them those documents, the deep threat, let's call him or her. These are the actual documents. Now, this is exactly what happened to Nixon. There was someone who had the actual documents, like knew there was a tape recording. So Trump is now faced with not just the damaging evidence that he didn't pay taxes, but it goes back 15 years. So for Trump to say his taxes are under audit, they aren't under audit for 15 years. They're only under audit from the year 2016. Biden did the smart thing, said, show me your 2017 tax returns. They're not under audit. Here are mine. Here's my 2018 returns. So Biden has him in a corner, and Biden's played this very well. There is no coming back from this. Trump either has to show his tax returns or play duck and weave, and he's not Muhammad Ali. And the only thing Biden has to do is watch for that left swing and come in with a right-hand uppercut, and he's knocked him out. So Trump's going to dance and weave. He's going to try to get away from this. Biden just has to keep his cool and wait for his time to move. The next debate will all be about Hunter Biden. And Biden shouldn't say this is a lie. Here is the truth. And he started that. My son had some difficulties. His decision-making wasn't very good. But he didn't do any damage to the nation. And that's been verified by even the Senate reports that they ran on Hunter Biden and they couldn't find anything wrong, except the look of impropriety. And if I were Biden, I'd come back and say, let me go through your sons for a moment here and daughter. Why was your daughter paid $720,000 in 1 year to be a consultant? And who did she consult with? You paid the money. And go on and things that are in his tax returns. Where did you borrow the money? Sure, let's say Hunter did something wrong, but he didn't borrow $150 million from some unknown source and is owed by the President of the United States. That's the kind of offensive he has to run.
Getting to the Supreme Court, Trump has nominated Judge Amy Coney Barrett for the lifetime position, sparking fears for reproductive rights and the Affordable Care Act. If they can't get it in the Senate, they'll get it in the court. Thoughts on Barrett, Ed?
Well, Amy Coney Barrett is hard to attack. Sure, she is a very right-wing justice, but her record isn't all that bad, even in those spheres. There's some areas where she seems to indicate some degree of humanity. And so the Democrats have to be very certain that they pin the right tail on this donkey. And I think you're right at focusing on those two issues and over try to get her in a corner on those issues, but do not try to destroy her because her personal life is certainly in very good shape and it would be a mistake to do that. Now, the whole issue of stacking the court comes up. Should the Democrats stack the court? Biden's gonna be asked that. And Biden's response to that should be that I will take the appropriate actions with the elected Senate. In other words, get out there and vote for a Democratic senator. And that will give me choices as to what to do. But I can't exercise any choices if we don't hold the Senate. So he shouldn't say he's going to pack the court. He should say that option's still with me and the elected Senate. I think that's a good way to play this game.
Briefly overseas, Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny, recovering from the poisoning attempt made on his life, well enough, in fact, to return to Russia. Although if I were him, I'd be a little bit hesitant on that. I probably wouldn't be walking near any windows in any tall buildings. Thoughts, Ed?
Maybe he has to be in the same kind of car Lenin was in, with all closed up and no windows on his return. I certainly wouldn't fly. No, he has to stay out of that country as long as he can until the electoral stuff starts up and he becomes less a target, because if he becomes a target during that, it means the elections are fixed. So I think it's very important that he basically stays low, waits for his moment, and does not try to act at this point, because an action at this point will only be good for Putin.
And Brad Pascal, we won't delve too much into what he's been accused of, but the former campaign manager for Trump hospitalized this week after an incident in his home where he was reportedly ranting and waving a loaded gun, his wife fearing that he might himself sort of shoot himself. Pascal was fired after that disastrous Tulsa rally for Trump earlier this year, but this incident came immediately after a nonpartisan watchdog filed a complaint alleging the Trump campaign of laundering $170 million through numerous companies, some with connections to Pascal. It doesn't look particularly good. I mean, you never have to dig
too deep. Doesn't he sound like everybody else? I'm wondering what the problem is here. His own daughter is caught in money laundering. He's been caught in money laundering. Many of the people in his campaign. This money laundering, though, is to keep his empire going. They've got to prop it up. And the way you do it is to funnel money into his buildings, his hotels, and things like this. He owes so much money to outside interests. He's, in fact, a security threat. Now, why did Brad Pascal do this? Because Brad Pascal knew he might be arrested. He's a weak man. He would spill the beans. This would be even worse for Trump. He's under treatment right now, but you can be very sure some people will be visiting in his hotel, in his jail cell, from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Another bomb in this campaign.
I hope he doesn't get visitors on the like of maybe Jeffrey Epstein got visitors in his jail cell. Look, a couple more on the election in Florida. Michael Bloomberg has raised more than $16 million to pay the fines of around 31,000 convicted felons in order to restore their voting rights in advance of the 2020 election. What's going on, Ed?
A saint. Bloomberg for sainthood. If Trump can get the Nobel Prize, Bloomberg should get a place in the Vatican. These fines have disenfranchised voters who recently minted. Florida passed a law that said, if you served your time, you could get back your right to vote. It was unanimously passed, and some 70% of the voters voted for it. Maybe it's because there's so many people in Florida who have jail records. I have no idea. But DeSantis, the new governor, to disenfranchise these people, got a law passed that said if you hadn't paid all your fines and done your community service and other things, you were not yet free. You were still a convicted felon. So that's why Bloomberg's come in. And for those who owe a couple of $1,000s, he can't do community service for them, but he can clear up. And then remember, in 2000, what was 2,000 votes decided the presidency? So this extra 30 to 100,000 votes, it might be 200,000 votes, could well decide the presidency.
Decided it in Florida, as you point out there, Ed.
That's right.
And this last one circles back on the voter intimidation we were talking about earlier. A data leak has revealed that in 2016, the Trump campaign kept files on almost 200 million American voters, for targeting campaigns. Of particular interest were 3.5 million black voters who were categorized not to try and win them over, but to deter them from voting altogether. Thoughts, Ed?
That's going on again. They're using the same kind of tactics. And this is one of the reasons that Trump's against mail-in voting. Because using those tactics were very effective last time when people had to go to the polls and they were unsure of what they were going to encounter. Now, and I've been critical of not having a ground game, the ground game's changed in the Biden campaign. The ground game is now the mail game. So people are going in their own blocks to talk to people about the package they receive and how to get it back through the mails. And when a Democrat shows up and says, here's how you do this, they can't touch the ballot, they can't sign it, they can't mail it, but they can show the person where the mailbox is, they can walk them to it. So they are scared to death. And let me give you one, for instance. This morning, I opened my Real Politics to look at what was going on state by state. Believe it or not, Biden is 1% behind Trump in South Carolina. I didn't say South Carolina, South Carolina. This is remarkable. Moreover, Ossoff, a guy that didn't have a chance in heck in Georgia, is now ahead of Perdue, the senator who said he would side with the majority in putting up Barrett for the Supreme Court. So this mail-in thing is really disoriented the Trump campaign. And Trump even admitted they were sending people, remember he said, to Philadelphia to watch the polls to make sure no one was cheating and they would shoot out. It is against the law. If you are not voting to be in the room or at the door of a polling place, you must be 100 meters away from the polling place if you're not a voter. They're not watching, they're intimidating. And intimidation isn't making it this time.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast if you want to stay informed right up until November 2020. Maybe check us out on Facebook and Twitter, US of Ed, and drop us a review if you're feeling extra generous this week.